Welcome to a podcast of Finding Our Shared Humanity in an Academic Writing Community, presented by Karen Holscher, Professor of Education at Western Washington University. This podcast was recorded at the 2010 Text and Academic Authors Association Conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota. TAA is the only nonprofit membership association dedicated solely to assisting textbook and academic authors to enhance the quality of textbooks and other academic materials by providing them with educational and networking opportunities. For more information about TAA, go to http://www.taaonline.net.
I wanted to start just by saying thanks for the warm welcome everyone has given me here. I am a novice here at this conference, and it's been really wonderful to be at the reception last night and then be in the company of so many writers. So,
how did you find out about this?
I think I was looking for writing conferences, writing meetings, academic publishing conferences, and found that this one was here. As I read about the 2009 conference, it sounded like a smart thing to come to. I've published a textbook, or not a textbook, but a faculty handbook. I'll tell you about that in a minute. And have published for quite a long time as a faculty member. But to be in the company of others who are doing specifically that part of the work of writing was real interesting to me. I also was interested in talking about this project because it's the first time that we've started to kind of go public on this project after 3 years of working with a faculty writing community. And so I will share with you our process. I have maybe 15 or 20 minutes to share, and then I thought we might be able to kind of cross-fertilize and talk about either some of these ideas or some of the things that you've done in your world to sustain yourself as writers. And then time for the evaluation, and then say goodbye and you can get you out into the sunlight. That sound good? Okay, so my name is Karen Holscher. I've been at Western Washington University in the Department of Elementary Education, K-8 teacher certification, since 1992. During that time, I've moved through the tenure and promotion steps from newly minted graduate student into the world of the confusion of writing for the academy and trying to be a good teacher at a teaching institution, and also trying not to be buried under the voluminous service that people expect of you as a newcomer who has some energy and interest in anything. So let me share a little bit. As I said, the agenda I think will be sort of maybe a 20-20-20 almost, in terms of I'll talk a little bit, we'll share a little bit, and then hopefully we'll have some chance to talk as a large group and then do an evaluation. Every time I launch a class in my teacher education classes, I try to help you see what my goals are for setting out an agenda that way. And my goals are to recognize who we are collectively, to think about what it might be like to be in the third year of this, what I still call a fledgling faculty support system, writing series and a residency, to deepen our own experience by talking with each other about ourselves as writers, and then to broaden our view and maybe provide feedback to each other, for each other, and for me about next steps and how to get there. Here's my geoprimer about where I come from. I live in this little town called Bellingham, 70,000, so it's grown quite a bit. But I'm about 20 miles south of the Canadian border, right on the coast, so sort of near the San Juan Islands, about 90 miles north of Seattle. That's where I am. I did, however, grow up in Minnesota, so I'm a Minnesota native and still love to come back here whenever I can. Some scenes from our college campus. I wanted you to see that one day each winter it snows, so bottom lower right. A few other days during the year the sun comes out. Primarily we get a lot of rain during the school year, lots and lots of rain, and then beautiful Mount Baker there on the horizon, about 60 miles inland, gets 1,500 inches of snow a year. So we can go from the rain up into the sunny, snowy skies, and it reminds me a bit of Minnesota when we do that. This is a Wordle. Do you know Wordle? Yeah, I made one on all of the things that sort of you feel and surface up and come to you in the night about the tenure and promotion process. Oh, it's called Wordle. It's a site where you can put in any words you like and sort of get the result. I have another one coming up in a little bit. So the goals of this writing series that I'll talk about were sort of threefold. One, reflecting on and thinking about how can we get from where we are now as a beginner at the university, and in about 5 or 6 years, think about being ready to put our materials up proudly and confidently as faculty members. The second one was to encourage dialogue across content areas, possibly even linking with a partner from another area that's completely foreign to your thinking right now, but coming into the series with a partner who then will work with you on as a reader, as a feedback giver, as a peer mentor. And then sustaining the motivation to write in what we always come to feel becomes a community of friends, a real critical group of friends. Our writing series is open to 12 participants each year. We ask, as I said, that people find a partner that they'd like to write with and connect with, maybe in the off times away from the writing series. They sign up as partners in December. We have sort of an induction process where we say hello to them, and the outgoing group comes in and says, you know, hopefully, this was a great experience. Here were, you know, 3 or 4 things that I did during last year's series when I was in last year's cohort that you might think about when you join the group this year. Then we have monthly meetings from January to June. 2 hours, we meet on the first Friday of every month. The format is sort of a 30, 75, 15-minute format, so it's predictable. 30 minutes for checking in, talking about what your goals were from the last time. 75 minutes for a combination of a little mini workshop, which is optional, and writing, which is writing in isolation or writing in some quieter spots that where you'd like to talk with someone else. And then a checkout process where we have them, and I've got my laptop, noting what your future goals are going to be. So you come in and you talk about what you've done since last month, then you write, and then you check out by saying, I pledge to. And we try to help our writers make reasonable goal statements so that they can feel successful the next time around. And again, the goals there, reflecting on and working toward our goals, thinking about dialogue, and then having some mentoring. The residency comes every year in September, and we spend 3 days and 2 nights at a university facility that is a marine research center, sort of near the San Juan Islands. It has residence housing so that everyone has their own room, their own bathroom. We cater the food. Everything's organic. We have there's high-speed internet in the rooms, which some people ask not to have. So far, we haven't figured out how to quench their signal, but you know, for some writers, that's a deterrent. We always have a social hour before dinner. Everyone that comes to this group brings something that's fun and interesting to do, kind of on the recreational side. If it's maybe leading a hike, maybe leading a game of flag football or ultimate frisbee, pickup soccer, cycling, most of the people kind of come with something that they want to do and kind of get us engaged in. We try not to do too much of that because we could overdo that as well. Last year, a talent show bubbled up. We had a couple of theater faculty members who had all kinds of things planned that we didn't even know. So they made a little talent show at the end, and someone brought a karaoke machine. I put this slide in just to encourage you as writers to think about where you might do your own residency. A residency or a retreat as a writer doesn't have to require large sums of money. In some cases it does, but in some not. So what you see on the top left are a couple of our writers working together at one of our previous residencies. The castle pictures are from what was a fairly expensive retreat that I went on. I went on a writer's retreat in Tuscany. You know, I'll never do that again. I had a little prize for an award that I won at the university. I felt like that would help sustain my writing when I was just reaching my associate professorship. And I put a couple of little pictures in at the bottom left of a cabin that I rent at a state park near my house. Every October, I go there for 3 days, and it's come to be my little writing retreat. And it's not very expensive. My family can drive there and, you know, bring me dinner and bring me a little glass of wine at the end of the day. I told my colleague who runs the writing series with me that I would show you what she looked like and why she's so fun to work with. Her name is Carmen Werder. And I put her picture here to remind me to tell you that in the leadership of this group of writers, it's been really important to us that we have a sort of complementary backgrounds. Carmen comes to us as the director of a group called the Teaching and Learning Academy at Western Washington University. So she's really great with working with groups. Everyone on campus knows her. She really knows the writing process. She works with writing support on our campus. I feel like what I bring is probably a little less grand in terms of the university, but a little more tuned into navigating the tenure and promotion process. And especially helping the writer see that once you are an associate professor with tenure, you can still be, and in my case, we must be, active writers, engaged scholars all the way through. So as I near 60, I find myself more excited than ever about writing, and I'm glad to be in that place. I think it's partly because I'm working with younger writers right now. Carmen and I both have written ourselves. She works a lot with engaging student voices on our campus. Here's an edited volume she had come out this year with Stylus. And I have another kind of research line around helping faculty members get a little better at or even learn the process of supporting students' identity differences. What most of us find is that we didn't get very many classes on how to support differences that come up in the classroom and how to encourage and feel warmth toward and how to appreciate each other's differences rather than what in the old days was sort of tolerating each other. So my research tends to be in this area. I just had some kind of odd success the other day with doing a personal essay that relates to this topic, and I submitted it to Inside Higher Education online journal, and so I'm doing a little personal essay writing, so they just said yes to an 800-word piece that, you know, I was kind of fishing around to several different spots, but I'm continuing to try to do more and more as a writer so that the people in our group who are usually quite a bit younger than I am can see that writing should continue across their career. Questions so far about what you've seen?
I'm wondering, this is going back quite a bit in your presentation to describing shop itself and the check-in and the goals from last month and next month. I imagine those goals look very different depending upon how much of a beginner or how far along a writer is in your sequence. I can put for example, if I were in that program and I were where I am right now, under contract to write the third edition of the book, my goal for next month would be really rather boring to articulate. It would be, well, at this pace, I've got to get done with 3 chapters a month. So
sure, and that would be your goal. Sure would. And we have a few faculty who are writing textbooks, but primarily they're in years 2 through 5, and so they're writing journal articles. So their steps are a little more predictable toward. To that. May I? That's a good anticipatory question. Yeah. Good one. I'll be right there.
Have any stars to put on my page?
Yeah, there you go. Give me your pen and I'll do it at the end. Yeah. I think I've talked a little bit about this already, but in case you want to try this at home, so do try this at home, even with yourself. It doesn't have to be, you know, doing it on behalf of another group of writers. But our timeline, as I said, was we're recruiting our new writers in October. These days, the previous cohort is going out and saying, you got to do this. So our recruiting job is becoming easier because it's free to the participants, and we've had some good luck helping people reach tenure already in these 3 years. So recruiting, then the Celebrate Writing Gathering that I mentioned to you. We do a pre-assessment at that point. We do some questions that help them figure out where their roadblocks are, what kinds of things they need to work with, what sorts of help they'd like from us, what topical types of things they'd like to do in the mini sessions that we have during the workshop. Questions or concerns that we could answer. We do lots of emailing back and forth with them. Carmen and I sort of split that job up. Then, as I mentioned, the January to June meetings, and then June through September, Carmen actually lives in Italy. She has a home there as well. So I do most of the aftercare once June ends, and I love that. You know, I've got 12 people that, you know, are pretty well on their way to writing. We have something called a production timeline that I've put into the sample set of materials, and I'll show it to you in the presentation as well. But that helps our summer structure have some, kind of hang some meat on the bones so that we put out the months of May, June, July, and August, 4 months, and have them think about what types of steps are they taking toward maybe getting those 3 chapters done by the end of August. So if you were doing your textbook and you were, say, in the middle of it in June, you could sort of mark out, if you're visual, like a lot of people seem to be, you could mark out the steps that you need to take to reach those goals. And I would include things like the research you need to do, or the phone calling, or the emailing, or the rereading that you need to do of other people's work, or the literature review, or travel. Whatever will get you to your 3 chapters, I think, would be goals. So there's a little mini answer to your question before we get to the next slide. At the end of each residency, then, we do a post-assessment, basically around attitudes and their production. And production being, we do look at numbers of things that they've actually produced and had published so that they can feel good about both. Here's one set of ideas that our faculty writers this year were real interested in learning more about. And one surfaced to the top because that's probably the most important thing for new faculty to remember or to begin learning about, and that is thinking about how to align what you'd like to write and what types of things you'd like to write in that field with what will be rewarded in your department. Because you could be as prolific as you want, and if you're ignoring the signposts that people are putting up for you or not having interaction with your chair, your colleagues, and hopefully your dean of your college, you can get to year 5 or 6 and be completely taken by surprise if you haven't been in touch along the way. So that was one tip sheet we put together. Another one was just in identifying appropriate publications and audiences. I read in one of the books that was given out to me this morning, because I was one of the first 15 or something to pay my registration fee, I read about the rule of 3 again. And I love that rule. The rule is, think about which publication you would love to have your piece in, or which publisher you'd love to have your textbook with, and then who would be your backups. And the minute your number one person says, sorry, doesn't fit, go right to the second one. You don't have to wrestle with, oh gosh, you don't have to let it sit for 2 months like I have sometimes on an article before I find the courage to kind of think about, okay, so where else could I submit this? Does anybody else use that idea when you're thinking of targets? Or do you just go with one? You could, but a lot of journal editors will not accept that. But I also think that once you've been an editor, you tend not to do that so much. I've been an editor of a journal and have run into the problem of working with someone's manuscript to really shape it up with them, and then right at the last minute they say, oh, you know, there's another group that already said yes. I understand. Yeah. It does some places, though. Yeah. questions, comments? The rest, I think, speak for themselves. The idea of how do you find focus as a writer? At the beginning of every workshop, I give everybody one of these little candle lights, these cheesy little lights, and I say, if you are working on something and find yourself stuck, turn this darn thing on and think of us. Think of us kind of rallying around you. And I have had people come back and tell me that really worked. In fact, I took it to my aunt's funeral and I put it on the speaker's platform where I had to speak, and it gave me the courage to do something. So I'm thinking one simple little idea really can make some difference for people. So I have one in my two writing places, and I have one in my, 93 Eurovan, one of my other writing places. And I, on a dark, rainy day, if I decide to go out there and sit in the van and write at the table, there it is, my little light. Because, I don't always want to be out in that van writing, when everybody else is doing something else, like. Editing and proofreading, determining what your error patterns are. We tend to make the same mistakes over and over again. If we don't internalize and sort of correct those things, it may keep us from being at the top of someone's pile who really hates it when people use apostrophes wrong and won't even look at your piece. Yeah. Pitching a piece of writing, I think there are a lot of ways you can increase the odds that a busy editor, might look at your cover letter and might look at your piece. And then how to keep your writing going. I just wrote this tip sheet on structuring and sustaining writing momentum through the summer. And I think I encouraged them to turn their light on again this summer. I don't know if I put it in there or not. Okay. I'm sure you could write, 7 very different types of tips to writers. Or you could appreciate having 7 different types of tips. And I would imagine that people that write textbooks may have a completely different set of tip sheets they would sort of keep playing in their head to keep them going, to keep them focused, to keep them earnest about the work. Yeah.
Has the tip
Tamara?
Sheets, do they change per group? Or
yes. Yes. Yeah, we have probably about 15 tip sheets. These are the ones that we produced this year. And a few were from a couple years ago. But we always update them because we make references to pop culture. We make references to people in the group sometimes. References to content area and stylistic kinds of writing that we know some of our writers are doing. Yeah. Great question. As I mentioned, we have some tools that we use to help writers and to help us determine how they're feeling when they start, how they feel about writing when they finish. We have that production timeline that I mentioned that helps people think about mini goals toward a larger product that they intend to produce, or mini goals toward a revision that they want to take the whole summer to do. You could mock one of these up yourself if you find something like that interesting. We have a mid-series assessment where we try to think formatively about making the writer's series more functionally useful to the people that we're working with. And our faculty have no trouble at all telling us what to keep doing, what to stop doing, and what to start doing or do more of.
I love this stop-start.
Yeah, that's the way I get midterm evaluation in my classes. Yeah, keep, stop, start. The progress arc is something that has been kind of a neat development. We wanted our faculty members to think about their work in years 2 through 5 as sort of a trajectory, or let's go this way, toward their tenure and promotion goals that they agree with their chair or their colleagues, so that they can sort of see the steps in a linear way through those 5 or 6 or 7 years as they're moving toward tenure and promotion. That would have been real helpful for me. I think that could have been a useful tool in my work. This is what the production timeline looks like. How simple, with the idea that we have some time between now and when we'll see each other again at the residency. What are you going to try to commit to doing? And you might want to say, I want to write for 2 hours every morning, Monday through Friday, when I'm in town. And if you were one of our writers, and I might say, great general goal. What are you planning to write about? What are your targets for writing in those areas? At some point, are you going to write with someone else? Are you going to do any virtual writing? Are you going to go down to a coffee shop and write quietly just in another space? Are you going to meet me in my van for lunch and a glass of wine and we'll write together? I've had writers do that. Virtual, online, electronic, yeah. So you can kind of, I mean, they call it electronic nagging. And I know people that use several of these tools at once. I know people that get online every morning and make a promise to a group of people they've never met. They set their goals, and at the end of the day, they all come back at the same time, and they talk about their goals. It's all about what accountability helps you as a writer. Here's the other arc I told you about. The idea of, as you start in January and work through the summer with us as a writer in the group, there are all kinds of examples of progress. And I forget your name, Paul. This kind of goes to your question a few minutes back, Paul, around what might be some goals. Maybe in the past, writers have thought that a goal would just be to get something published. If you break that down into mini steps, as you know, there are all kinds of ways to find joy and feel successful along the way as you meet the goals necessary to doing that. So examples might be even choosing a topic, completing a lit review, writing a proposal or drafting an article, editing and revising maybe two or three times if you need to. I think a great tip sheet next year probably will be recovering from people telling you your work isn't any good. You know, how do you recover from that? What are some good ways to sort of regain your momentum as a scholar and help yourself see that you've been successful and you can figure it out again? Writer's block is another one. I mean, those two sort of go hand in hand, I guess. Responding to the results of a review with revision or submissions. We've done a lot of work with the group this year in thinking about responding to the results of someone who says, we like your piece, but, or we like your piece and, we'd like these changes and we'll publish it. We've done a lot of work with helping them tease out what are the five or six things someone told us they wanted to do, and then what's our take on those? So maybe the first one, we just say, see page 23, where I address this, and you tell us, you know, basically what you did. Maybe the second one is sort of a rebuttal, almost. I chose not to work with this idea because, and respectfully, how to talk about that. And so you have on your cover letter sort of a little contract back to the person that took the time to do your feedback. And that's been very helpful to people. And I think it's helpful to editors who are going through lots of work to try to tease out, where did you address these things? Yeah. Comments on these tools or questions?
I'm getting the sense that part of the procedure we'd almost want to call therapy, in a very positive sense of the phrase, therapy conjoined with knowledge of the world. So it's like rational emotive therapy. The revise and submit or resubmit letter, the first time you've ever received one, it certainly reads a lot like a rejection letter.
Mm-hmm.
And so being instructed by someone much more experienced, even something as mundane as just the statistics to suggest, well, no, actually, if you get that kind of letter, the editor is very predisposed to publishing this piece. You know, it means quite the opposite of rejection. So that's a teaching function, it's a counseling function, and getting them to talk about, well, how do you feel devastated about this, and can you see that if we ignore this right now, this is manageable, what can we manage today to get to the goal of resubmitting the contractual thing you were talking about. When you and your partner get together, do you talk about yourselves as educators and therapists of a sort?
I guess you could call it writing therapy or counseling or advising or peer learning. We feel like we learn a lot from the people that we work with. Yeah. But I think a big part of it is Maybe it's a little like parenting too. You know, you've got a child trying to learn how to ride a bike, and you know they keep falling off and they keep falling off, and you sort of help them figure out what little things can you do to readjust, because you almost can do it. Yeah. Support group. You know, I'm a Weight Watchers member. Same thing. You know, same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another. Yeah, where you're there for a common purpose, and you've decided you want to change some behavior, or readjust, or, you know, get a little more motivated about something. Yeah.
Do you apply this to students as well? Do you apply this writing approach to students who are writing research papers?
Like graduate students? Yeah, I'm co-writing right now with a graduate student and an adjunct faculty member. So we have a trio working together, yeah. And, you know, another reason that we've gotten a teeny bit of funding to do this from our vice president of undergraduate education, and it's small, is that we're able to help people who are in the group use these writing practices with their students. And they're able to say that without us coaching. Coaching model is another good metaphor, I think, for this one. But they're able to say that at the end of the residency, they will use, or they have been using, some of these strategies to help their students as writers. Yeah. Yeah.
How much do you find role modeling helps, where you and your partner bring in your own experiences? Are you afraid of engaging in too much self-indulgence, or you might even bring in specific feedback from a specific writing project that you had and how you dealt with it instead of talking about it? How much of self do you bring in? How much do you try to keep that away so that the focus is on the learner?
Yeah, that's a good question. I tend to be the sort of person that would like to share sort of on an equal level what my goals are going to be, whether I met them, and what I'm working with, what I'm struggling with, and what I'm celebrating. Sometimes there just isn't time to do that because we want our writers all to have time. If there's a little titch of time left, I might say something about the writing I'm doing, or we might tell them that we're working on a piece together about the writing series, and we are. And here's where we are in our revise and resubmit. And here's how we got over the angst of them saying, we don't quite want this yet, you know. Yeah. So I think it varies with timing, and it varies with what it seems the group might like to hear. If they ask, certainly we always will tell them. A lot of them will ask us independently, how did you address this roadblock in your work as a new faculty member?
You use the word residency to describe what goes on, but you don't mean these people sleep over.
Yes, it's the 3-day, 2-night residency at this Marine Research Center.
And, but you also said there's no cost involved.
The university pays for all of this. So there's no cost during the year for the writing series. It's our time, and it's a small stipend for me. The residency is actually fairly cheap because the university owns the facility that we're renting. So I think we pay $7 a night for each of the rooms for each of the 12 people. And then we bring in organic food or have local folks cater things for us. We do some cooking together because we think that's part of the shared